never ends. We're so glad you could attend. Come inside, come inside.
This is the Andrew Lawton Show.
Come inside, the show's about to start.
Live on AM 980. Now, here's your host, Andrew Lawton.
Hello and good afternoon, London. Welcome to the Andrew Lawton Show here on AM 980. You're listening to London's breaking news leader, Canada's most irreverent talk show. 2 hours that hopefully you will not regret. If you do, well, it's non-refundable, so power to you. We have got a lot of great stuff to talk about. We're going to be joined just after 2 o'clock by Raheel Raza, Muslim writer, human rights activist, and also as a Muslim woman and an immigrant, a supporter of Donald Trump's travel ban on Muslims. We've been talking about that on the show this week so far, and I wanted to highlight Raheel Raza's position on this. It's very interesting with her background. We want to share that, obviously, to give a very balanced view of things. She'll be joining us just after 2 o'clock. Also, I'm going to be speaking with, in just a little bit of time, Paul McKeever. And we're going to talk about this sanctuary cities discussion that's going on in London. A vote by City Council this week unanimously passed a recommendation to ask staff to look into what would be entailed to make our city a sanctuary city. As Mike Sloan pointed out online, I think that a lot of this is staff figuring out what the term sanctuary city means, but we'll talk about that later on in the show. Sanctuary cities, a term that you don't actually hear in Canada. It's been a very big political issue in the U.S. Sanctuary cities, cities that essentially say it doesn't matter if you are a legal or illegal immigrant, we are going to give you whatever services we offer as a city to citizens, we're going to give them to you. And this is something that Toronto has decided to declare itself, that if you want to access city services, and including a lot of provincial services that are administered at the city level, doesn't matter if you are there legally or not, you'll do it. Now, Councillor Tanya Park has said that she wants to discuss making London a sanctuary city. She hasn't outlined what that would look like to her. She's merely said that London needs to be a city free of discrimination, persecution, yada, yada, yada. And what's concerning about this is that now she's asked staff, city staff, and council unanimously endorsed this, by the way, to look into what would it take to make London a sanctuary city. It means we'd have to start, assuming they follow the Toronto model and the model in the U.S., not caring if someone's here legally before we give them taxpayer money, for whatever the case may be. Now, what's interesting here is that this is not necessarily uncharted territory. I was tipped off a little while ago to a particular health center that was already operating on a so-called sanctuary model, it seems like. To talk about this, I wanted to welcome to the program Freedom Party of Ontario leader Paul McKeever. Paul, great to talk to you again. Thanks for your time today.
Oh, quite happy to do it, Manny.
So when we talk about sanctuary cities here, right, this is really a lipstick on a pig name, I think, isn't it?
Yeah, this is basically local councillors trying to score some political points by proposing that the whole federal regime of immigration and refugee status is circumvented so that they can allow and help people avoid getting deported. That's what it's all about. In Toronto, for example, they tell you about library services. I don't think anyone's hair on anyone's neck is getting up about that. But it goes further than this. You see, the police, when they have interactions with people, there are thousands upon thousands of calls that they make to Canada Border Services to make inquiries about people's status, you know, undocumented people, and a lot of these people get deported. About 35 a day from Canada get deported, partly due to police making inquiries when they discover that someone probably is not a refugee, an immigrant, or otherwise a Canadian citizen.
Which, just on that note, reinforces what we've seen in a lot of stats in Canada that say illegal immigrants are more likely to be involved in crime in the first place.
Well, put it this way, if you're in Canada and you're a refugee, then apply for refugee status. If you're in Canada and you're an immigrant, apply for immigration. If you are hiding in the bushes and not applying, what does that tell you? You're not eligible. And why are you not eligible? Well, because either you've already applied and you've been rejected, Or one of the other reasons could be you've in another country probably committed a crime or a human rights violation, which is that strikes you out. You don't get refugee status if you're involved in that kind of stuff. So our counselors are saying, hey, who cares if a person's committed a crime or a human rights violation in another country? We're going to give all these people the coverage that they need. And in Toronto, it took the form, for example, of requesting a don't ask, don't tell policy. So the police, they want pressure, put pressure on the police not to find out if the person's there in Canada illegally and not to tell the Canada Border Services, which to me is a conspiracy between the town and the folks who are trying to stay here illegally to circumvent the federal system.
Yeah, and one thing that I find to be really baffling about that is that if these people are completely problem-causing individuals to police and to other resources, we should want to get rid of them from the country if they aren't going through and haven't gone through the proper channels.
Well, clearly, I mean, keep in mind a lot of the people that we might be talking about here, if they have committed human rights violations, for example, or crimes in another country, and that's why they're not applying for refugee status, these people might be the very kind of people that legitimate refugees and immigrants living in London came to Canada to avoid, to get, and here they are being followed to Canada by the very kinds of people who persecuted them in their other country. It's a duty of the federal government and of the local police to make sure that everybody who's here is safe and secure, and that the people's past from the countries they've left, the persecution they've left, isn't following them here.
There was a push in Toronto not too long ago where a small group of councillors were actually pushing for a municipal identification card in Toronto so that you could actually give someone who wasn't here legally paperwork so that they never had to deal with not having a SIN, not having a driver's license, not having an Ontario license of any kind.
Yeah, none of this. See, a municipality has absolutely no legal authority except what is given to it by the province, mm-hmm. pursuant to statute. So, to my mind, when these cities take it upon themselves to interfere with the immigration and refugee status system, which is what they're doing, and they're, in fact, helping out people who have no legal right to be here, in violation of federal law, I would argue, they are doing something that they have no authority to do. This motion by Tanya Park and the rest of the councillors the other day, I would argue, is completely without any lawful authority. The province doesn't delegate to the cities the right to make policy or law concerning covering up for illegals. That's not a legitimate function of the municipal government.
No, but it's also a recurring theme in London where council seems to want to delve into these virtue signaling exercises and these
right.
policies that fall outside of the municipal mandate. But I wanted to go to something that you had tipped me off about. I think it was a couple of years ago or last year at the very least, which was an infrastructure that already seemed to be in place, not on everything, but where people who did not have status were able to access government services.
Yeah, so what was happening there, it was interesting, this was a few years back. There's a whole system of local centers, health centers, that are funded by the province, millions and millions of dollars. They're spotted all through Ontario, and they usually have a theme. So, for example, in Cornwall, there's one for Francophones. I think there are several that are for Natives. In Toronto, there's a really peculiar one that's for black women from the islands. I'm not sure what the particular health needs are there, but there you go. There's some that are, I think are LGBTQ, etc. And I could not for the life of me figure out what the London one was, so I called them. I made a few inquiries, and all of a sudden they hung up the phone. So I called the Ministry of Health, and I was speaking to it at the time. It was McGuinty's policy person, and I asked her, well, what would that particular health clinic be? What's the population they're serving? And she literally said to me over the phone, she said, well, that would be illegal aliens. And I said...
A government representative said this.
She said this to me. I was stunned. And so I thought, okay, so what they're saying is that they're knowingly funding a health clinic because otherwise these people would be found out if they went to the hospital or to a legitimate... doctor clinic.
Well, and we're not, and I think it's an important distinction here, because we're not even talking about someone who's in here illegally who happens to get a heart attack, gets rushed to the ER, when I think every reasonable person would say, yes, let's treat them and,
sure.
and deal with it after. We're talking about a clinic where people can go just at any point.
Sure. You've got some kind of, maybe you've adopted a disease or something, you've come down with something, you can go in there, have a doctor look at you, get a prescription, get drugs, and, we won't ask and we won't tell that why are you even here, and you're not a taxpayer. I mean, who's employing these people? Where's their social insurance number? Are they paying taxes? why is council bent on helping these people stay when all they would have to do, if they're legit, is apply for refugee status or immigration status? To me, it's a corruption of the system, and the municipality has no right to be involved in this.
And when we talk about that jurisdictional authority, I mean, what sorts of city services are we really talking about here? I know daycare is one, childcare in cities that subsidize that is always brought up, and affordable housing, which is a big one as well, because you've got waiting lists for affordable housing. And if now you have people that can access that, get government subsidies who aren't here legally, I mean, things like Ontario Works could conceivably fall under this as well, because they're city administered.
Well, yeah, and we're talking large numbers of people. Like Toronto, I think it's an estimated 200,000 people are in Toronto that are not refugees, that are not immigrants, that are not Canadian citizens.
And that's 10% of the population. We move that to a London context, that's about 35,000.
It's tens of thousands, that's right. And so why on earth are we helping people who have no right to be here with taxpayer funds to live here, giving them free health care, free shelter, free perhaps transportation, or at least subsidized?
But where's your compassion, Paul? That's what this comes down to, right? We're just too heartless to see the bigger picture.
My compassion is for every refugee, immigrant, and otherwise Canadian citizen here who's just paying their taxes, working, doing everything by the book, and being told by counselors and whatnot that, well, guess what? We're going to take some of your money and give it to people who have no right to be here. I mean, why not just send it to Iceland? It'd be the same thing.
It really would, and we're talking about something that is very distinct. When Tanya Park presented this, and obviously there's a possibility here that she doesn't even know what a sanctuary city is. She doesn't even know what the word means. She just thinks it sounds nice because she's seen other cities talk about doing it before. But when she talks about this and presents this idea, it's one that's framed as, this is how we can make sure that we're a safe space for refugees. Well, we already are. We're already bringing in publicly and privately funded and sponsored refugees. We're already letting these people live here. We're already offering services and resettlement services to immigrants that have come here. Anything other than that has to be targeting an audience that isn't essentially aided by the status quo. And the only possibility for that is the ones we've been talking about, the non-status types or undocumented types or illegal types, to use it accurately.
That's right. And every penny we spend on the illegals, we're not spending on helping to settle refugees and immigrants and et cetera. And we're not keeping them safe when they get here. If we're bringing in people who wouldn't qualify, perhaps because they've committed crimes or human rights violations in other countries, how can you say that we're making them safe, that we're being compassionate? We're not being very compassionate to the people who are coming here trying to escape those countries, or to the rest of the Canadians living in the area. That's not showing any compassion at all.
Yeah, and a lot of these people are, well, not all, a lot of them, all of them, they have to be working under the table because they don't have sins. They have to be either turning to crime or turning to employers that are paying for them under the table. Either way, this is not an attitude that we want to be reinforcing.
Right, and hey, let's not kid ourselves. We've always seen the TV shows and the movies where someone's got Matilda from Mexico. She's completely undocumented, and they're abusing her, and they're not paying her, and et cetera. So we're actually setting up a system where people could take advantage of the fact that these people are undocumented and mistreat them.
Yeah, that's a point that I didn't even want to think of and hadn't gone down that road. But if we are talking about the broader issue of public safety, we're not really doing much of a service to the people who are supposedly benefiting from this either.
No. Andrew, that this thing will turn to a don't ask, don't tell policy with respect to policing. I think that's where it's all going, and I think that would be a real problem, not only jurisdictionally, because it's completely, in my view, unconstitutional, but I think it's an interference with the safety and security of Canada and of its immigration and refugee status system.
What have we actually seen transpire on the law enforcement side of this in other cities?
Well, you know, I'm not sure what you mean by that. Do you mean in terms of...
I just mean what have they really done to... Has it just been when cities have embraced that law enforcement approach that they've just completely said, all right, we're not going to ask, you're not going to tell us, we're never going to report anyone to immigration?
You know, I'm not sure of the... I mean, the most recent report I've seen was actually a report in the Toronto Star from about, must have been 2015, November. And there they were saying that it was a request being made to police. I'm not sure if the police have knuckled under on that. I can't imagine they'd want to. Their job, they know, is to keep us all safe. And if they've got a guy there, they don't know who he is, and he won't say, and he doesn't have any documents, and he doesn't work anywhere, what's the next step? Of course they have to call Canadian Border Services and make an inquiry, especially because if this guy's a criminal, you know, they've got a duty to uphold.
Paul McKeever joining me on the line now live. He is the leader of the Freedom Party of Ontario. Paul, thanks for your work on this and for coming on the show today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Andrew.
I've got to take a quick break here. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about the sanctuary cities idea, but I also want to delve into the voting and electoral change abandonment that we've seen and why it's not all bad. That's coming up in just a couple of moments on The Andrew Lawton Show on AM 980. I got an email from Marco here. He writes, very enlightening interview with Mr. McKeever. The moment I saw the headline in the paper that Tanya Park was proposing this, I'm sure I'm not the only one who smelled a heavy dose of grandstanding in the air. Then, of course, council votes 12-0 in favor. I'm beside myself at the levels of silliness this council keeps stooping to. It's time for them to start focusing on impactful issues affecting the city. I, for one, cannot wait to see an overhaul of this bunch of jokers. You get council in London that does not want to deal with municipal issues. They don't want to deal with the nitty-gritty. They don't want to deal with the issues of garbage collection. They don't want to deal with the issues of fixing potholes in the road. They want to deal with making themselves essentially the big group huggers that we saw the night of the municipal election. They want to vote to ban carding, even though that's not their jurisdiction. It sends a message. You know what? They wouldn't vote to send a message when Matt Brown was on the chopping block. When they could have applied a financial penalty to Matt Brown, oh, well, then it was, oh, we only want to send a message. No, we don't actually want to, you know, do anything, just send a message. We want to send a message to the police that we don't like carding. We want to send a message that we're a sanctuary city, we're a safe haven. We want to send a message that London's a vibrant, productive hub. That's the whole transit thing. They don't even actually plan on advancing transit. They just want to send a message that London's the kind of city where we talk about this sort of stuff. And then we look at the impact this is going to have on crime rates. When all of a sudden we're saying to illegals, this is what they are. Don't get swept up into this nonsense of calling them undocumented or non-status. They are illegal. They are illegal. Full stop. The crime rates that come along with that. Because these people are far more likely statistically to be involved in drug crime especially because, hey, they can't work legally. A lot of them have fled here because they have criminal pasts. And we expect this just to be something that lets us pat ourselves on the back and say we've taken a stand against bigotry. You know, Councillor Park and her colleagues who endorse this, they're not running against Donald Trump. They're not the official opposition of Donald Trump's presidency. Focus on municipal issues. Focus on municipal issues. Focusing on rising property tax rates would go a heck of a lot further than trying to grandstand and single-handedly end xenophobia, racism, bigotry, and intolerance, and all these other things. 519-643-2222 is the number, or 1-866-354-8255. We'll go to Ann on the phones here. Hi, Ann. Thanks for holding.
Oh, hi, Andrew. I really appreciate Paul McKeever's take on the whole thing because he's a lawyer. I have been just livid over this, and everyone I've talked to in my neighborhood is so angry, their blood is boiling. They're going to bring in thousands of criminals, make no mistake. Now, this is how serious it is in the States, and this is how pissed off the United States is. It's part of why Trump got elected. Obama let anyone that moved literally go into the United States in these cities, rapists. Some of them were already convicted murderers from various parts, okay? Not just, you know... Islamic.
Yeah, there's a reason they aren't going through proper channels to get into the country.
Yeah, no kidding. And, I mean, what a nightmare. Now, what's resulted is actually people have been murdered. Now, this is what's happening right now. They are so angry right now, and I don't blame them. The Republicans are actually trying to make a law to sue personally the Democrat scumbag politicians that are responsible for the deaths and murders of innocent people. And I hope it passes, and I personally hope they sue them into the ground because they are directly responsible for these deaths and for these horrific crimes. When you harbor criminals, all hell is going to break out, and they knew that. So there's foreseeability there. I really, really hope that this goes through. They're trying to do it for Colorado. Denver, Colorado in particular, because of a horrific murder there. You know, there was a big, big fight back. So how dare this city council even attempt to do this?
Yeah.
I mean,
it's beyond the pale.
If they want to do this, Andrew, do you know what I'd like to see all of them, and Matt Brown too, John Tory, the whole thing, the whole stinking lot of them? I want them to spend a week at a federal penitentiary only with the jail cells open for some cultural diversity if they want to dump this on us, because that's the equivalency of what they're doing.
Yeah, I appreciate that call very much, Anne. You know, people have pointed out, because Trump was talking about sanctuary cities the other day, and he talked about the crime rates being higher, and then a bunch of liberal media outlets responded and said, well, actually, no, the crime rates are lower. The reason why is because the police are also adopting this idea of giving people sanctuary. So this is why they're lower, because police aren't actually enforcing in these cities the letter of the law. Go next to Charles on this. Hi, Charles.
Good afternoon, Andrew. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
As far as I'm concerned, is that the Tanya Park, she did nothing but grandstand. I don't understand. Like, she was on the news the other night, and she's crying over this. A couple of months ago, when Matt Brown got his hand slapped for what he had done, is that Paul Hubert gets up and starts crying. Is this council? Is this just a great big kumbaya?
Well, yeah, I mean, mostly in the carding. You're right about the Paul Hubert thing. And Matt Brown, he did his tears when he was getting up there. And, I don't have a problem with people being in touch with their emotions, but it does get a little tiring after a while.
Oh, absolutely. And this is none of city council's business whatsoever. And yet all they're doing is that they're focusing on issues other than what needs to be focused on.
You know, I think a lot of people believe that London has an important role to play with helping refugees, for example. But I think if you poll the average city resident, business owner, and say, what are the top priorities? I don't think, you know, I don't like the idea that people might get deported from London ranks high on the list of problems. I think property taxes, I mean, hydro rates, a provincial issue, but red tape, road maintenance, these are what people voted them in to deal with.
Exactly. Not to be standing up and crying over emotions. Now, as I said, I'm not against anybody showing emotions. However, is that I'm getting kind of sick and tired of this council and their kumbaya attitude with when they get up and they start crying about things. It has nothing to do with them. And same with the sugary drinks. We've got bigger fish to fry than talking about sugary drinks.
Well, yeah, you're not allowed to fry them anymore either. So bigger fish to steam, I think, has to be the expression in this case, right?
Right.
Appreciate the call very much, Charles.
Okay, thank you.
All the best to you, sir. We'll go next to Bob on this. Hi, Bob.
Yeah, Andrew, I just want to start off with, I just got to thank you, as probably the only radio host in a local station around here, that's bringing some common sense to this discussion.
Well, thank you.
Thanks for that. My other, when it was snowing yesterday with that little snowstorm, I thought council was falling from the sky. But back twice. Anyways, my statement is, with these councilors here, I just have to ask. We should ask them individually each if they're willing to answer you on your show and call in and ask the question: how many of these people are going to have some of these people that are going to come in stay at their homes and put them up, get them on their feet?
Well, yeah, and why don't you, as a counselor, then sponsor them as immigrants if you want them to get a new life here?
Absolutely. Let's see. I want to see them walk the walk. I don't want the rhetoric that they come up with. If you show us that you're so for this, that you're going to have them come into your home and share space with your family, and then you might start convincing me that this may be a good idea.
Appreciate the call very much, Bob. I have to take a break here. When we come back in just a couple of moments, more of the Andrew Lawton Show here on AM 980. Stay tuned. We are back. This is the Andrew Lawton Show here on AM 980, London's breaking news leader. Great to have you tuned into the show. Going to be speaking just after 2 o'clock with human rights activist and author Raheel Raza, a Muslim woman who, an immigrant Muslim woman, by the way, who supports Trump's travel ban from 7 Muslim nations. We'll talk to her just after 2 o'clock. And also later on in the show, I'm going to be speaking about the electoral reform flip-flop by the Prime Minister, Justin Trudeau. That's coming up after we speak to Raheel. But I wanted to continue along our chat about sanctuary cities here in London, because I look at this and I have followed, because I actually, before I worked at this radio station full-time, I did a lot of work in the U.S. and a lot of writing for the U.S. podcast, radio as well. And I was very familiar, intimately so, with Sanctuary City debates and discussions. And to be honest, I was shocked when I heard that word come to Canada, because I thought we were a little bit far removed from that. We don't have the illegal immigration discussion as front and center as Americans do. We don't build a wall with anywhere. Maybe we could build a wall with Alaska if we need to. Who knows? But the fact is, when I heard that debate come to Toronto and then Toronto Council saying it's a sanctuary city, by the way, this week, John Tory, the mayor of Toronto, tweeted out that he wanted to reaffirm that Toronto was a sanctuary city. He wanted to remind people, just in case the illegal immigrants hadn't known that Toronto was a sanctuary city, he wanted to tell them once again, come one, come all, doesn't matter if you pay taxes, doesn't matter if you're breaking the law, doesn't matter if you fled your home country illegally instead of registering as a refugee and going through the vetting. Remember, when we talk about these issues, when we talk about this phenomenon, people will say, but they're fleeing. Refugees are vetted. Well, these people aren't refugees. These are people that have come in underground. They've come in shipping containers. They've come in under false paperwork. They've come in under unlawful identities. They've come in here because maybe their motives are pure, but their methods weren't. And that is why this has to stop. This is why we have to stop coddling these people, sugarcoating it, and pretending that illegals are something other than that. You look at border towns, by the way. Border towns in Arizona, border towns in New Mexico and Texas, and when they talk about them, people won't even use the word illegal immigrant. They'll say undocumented, undocumented. And it makes it sound like someone just hasn't picked up their driver's license from the post office yet when you say undocumented. Oh, yeah. It's a wonder they haven't even switched them to pre-documented, before they're documented. We're talking about pre-documented individuals here. No, they're illegals. They're illegals. And you know what? There are a lot of illegal people that want a better life for themselves. I know someone, by the way, who lives in Canada. He's here legally, but his family, Hispanic background, lives illegally in the United States. And they're good people. They got in because they weren't actually fleeing anything. They wanted a better economic opportunity. I can't fault them for that, but ultimately they did something wrong. But they still have jobs because they live in a sanctuary city. Their daughter gets public funding to go to school. And they do all of this stuff while people are who have a much greater need waiting to try to get into the country, and they can't because, oh, well, all the spots are full from the people that didn't go through the right thing. Why are we rewarding people who break the law? Why are we rewarding that? 519-643-2222 is the number, or 1-866-354-8255. We'll go next to Bill on this. Hi, Bill.
Sorry, you said John Tory, and that was my trigger signal. You know, these people, is all they're there for is to be virtue signalers. You know, just virtuous, virtuous, virtuous.
Well, and by, I want to put you on pause, not actually on pause, but I want to explain, because I've used this term a couple of times in the show, and you've used it now. I want to tell people what virtue signaling is, because this is a relatively new term. This is people that essentially want to promote themselves as having the moral high ground, as being the pure and being the pious, and being the ones that say, no, no, no. When I say this, I'm talking about how wonderful a person is. That's virtue signaling in a nutshell. And elected officials have taken it upon themselves to make their virtue signals acts of law.
And when you play that card, anybody that disagrees with it, guess what? They're going to label you, and it could be racist, bigot, whatever it is, you know, xenophobe, homophobe. But anyways, that being said, here's a man, okay, who I thought was a conservative, who basically gave Kathleen Wynne power and Dalton McGuinty in Ontario for 13 years. Shame on you, John. Number two, he wants to toll the highways, and he wants to build a billion-dollar park over railway tracks and a sanctuary city. I mean, what planet do these people, you know, they're not human beings. They must have been born on Mars or something.
Yeah, and it's it's really par for the course now. That's the most concerning part about this, is that they are no longer just the kooks on council that do this. They make up council majorities. The fact that not one single councillor in London this week was standing up to say, hang on, I don't think this is a good idea. Even Phil Squire, who I like a great deal, have a great deal of respect for, Phil Squire gets up and he says, well, hang on, I want to make sure we're not talking about illegal immigrants. I want to make sure we're not doing this. I want to make sure we're not doing this. But he still passes the damn motion.
It's groupthink. And if you don't think with the group, there's a problem. And, I mean, my neighbors that don't follow news, they're not that well-informed. You know, you mentioned something about global warming or whatever, and they look at you like you've got three heads. Like, did you ever do any research? No, no. They just listen to whatever dribble, you know, comes on the 6 o'clock news on local news stations that we're forced to pay for, that basically are just putting out liberal talking points. And that's it. So that's the world we live in. I don't know what to do about it.
And therein lies the problem that we and people that think like us find ourselves, Bill. And I appreciate the call very much. What you do about it is you don't let it go unchallenged. You don't let it go unchallenged. The problem is there are people like me who get paid to have an opinion, who get paid to opine and to lament and sometimes to say things that may be interpreted as controversial. Maybe. You never know. There are other people that don't have time for that. The other people that can't afford to put their life on the line, their job, their livelihood, because they say something that is deemed to be offensive. And those are the people for whom my heart goes out. The people that stand up and say, hey, no, we shouldn't be a sanctuary city. And then they're deemed to be racist because they dared to criticize what everyone else with a brain on their or in their head would have criticized as well. This is the immigration border security equivalent of saying police are not going to enforce the law because some people might have a difficult time. You are turning your back on your duty, which is to enforce the law, or for the purposes of Canadian immigration, enforce the borders. How is that at all in the interest of making London a better, more welcoming place? All it does is make London inhospitable to the 90% of people that are here legally and went through the proper channels and did the right thing. We have to take a break here. When we come back in just a couple of moments, more of the Andrew Lawton Show on AM 980.